This sermon was downloaded from spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Please let's be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Today is the 40 days fasting and prayer. And God is going to help us greatly today in Jesus' name. I want to do something that is within the scope of pastoral prophetic administration tonight. Just to tie up and then to bring a few emphasis to impress again some of the emphasis that the Lord has brought to us through our Father and the Lord for the past 9 days. Praise the Lord. Amen. And this is very important because many times the reason why we are not able to come into the full manifestation fruits and increases. But see, Paul plants, Apollo does what? Of these three sequences are important. Where there is no planting, you can have an increase. And if you plant and it is not watered, it's going to go dead. And if it dies, increase can't come. Praise the Lord. And if you read the writings of Apostle Peter, you're going to see a lot of remembrance, re-impression, redacting again the things that you have been told, the things you have learned previously. You find Peter bringing them to our remembrance again, just to ensure that when these things become firm in our grip and grasp, we become positioned and postured for increase. So, I'm going to do a little more on the channels of truth and emphasis that our Father already opened, and anything that does not become that does not wield controlling influence over your mind cannot affect your life tremendously. The truth that we get to hold and don't get to hold them firm, when the days come, when it begins to matter, what we power you up is not going to be the truth that you hold loosely, but the truth that you hold firmly. So you find somebody, amen. You find a woman, maybe someone gets into a situation of emergency, and then what they naturally would say is, "Mama, yo, have you been there before?" My mom's own used to be Adamano. Maybe she's walking and then she strikes her feet against a stone. What comes out naturally is something else, not Jesus. Do you get what I'm talking about? But I've seen our children here that when they get, because they have been around church environment and they didn't start their walk with God on the footing of restoration. It means they are not having to go into the world experiencing iniquity and unrighteousness before they will now have to start walking with God. They are starting afresh. The first experience they are having is God. The first dream they are having is God. And then something surprising happened here. Jesus Christ. The reason is because of a mental block. Do you get what I'm talking about? Why is it that, I don't know if you have had this experience, that in your dream, you are in a condition of warfare contentions, and then scriptures is what you are dishing and doling out. That is a proof of the fact that those things are settled somewhere. Subconsciously, they are settled somewhere, and that is what is going to determine and order the direction that your life will take. So while our Father was thinking about the warfare of the mind, many times if you don't, the battlefield, you know, there are different domains of warfare, and one of the domains is the mind. It is one of the most crucial and critical domain of warfare that you need to pay attention to. The church around, maybe the African church, the Nigerian church, especially the way many of us met the church. When we talk about warfare, the first thing you start doing is what? All the demons, all the witches, all the wizards. But when you read the Bible, the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, you know, from verse 3, where the details of warfare are explained, and then in Ephesians chapter 6, you're going to see the first primary battleground where spiritual warfare begins is not even with demons, it's with your mind. And the manifestation, the way, the sublime, subtle way this warfare will be initiated, the first installment will make you weak and destroy your mind. Hallelujah. Amen. Are there persons here, maybe because of your past experience, all right? Because of your past experience, you were exposed to a lot of materials, and then you were in church. Worship is going on, for instance, and then everywhere is, you know, lit. Everywhere is just electrified, and the power of God is everywhere. And what is going on in your mind is not in any way connected to what is going on in the corporate environment. The glory of God is everywhere, and then the devil is reminding you of a movie you watched, a song you know. Do we have persons here like that? You know, I remember my own, like, he was a rough, stubborn person, then the other bad names you have. And I'm in church. Those were the days where Don Muem was still, is not as aged as he is right now. So he was like the lead worshiper, Don Muem Ron Kenoly. They were the lead worshippers that we have in the body of Christ as at the time. And they are singing, "Blessed be the name of the Lord, who is worthy to be praised and adored." So we lift up. And as I'm lifting my hands, a thought of Westlife song comes to my mind. Don Williams. I don't know how many of us listen to Don Williams. It will come. Tungan, tungan. Ay, Jesus. Or you just find those hands that are lifted becoming heavy. There is an attack. There is a warfare going on in Zion against your life as at the time. Praise the Lord. And for many persons, you also find an environmental warfare conditioning that comes from the kind of, okay, I've mentioned songs, right? How many of us remember Nigeria Jaga Jaga? You are inside bus, the bus is raving, boom, kak, boom, kak, and then you disembark from the bus, but your brain is still shaking. You get me? And then you are finding Nigeria Jaga Jaga is playing in your mind, but you have alighted from the bus. It has entered a meditative dimension. It can now be saved in your subconscious memory. So when you sleep, the dreams you have, the re-entrance of your mind in the affairs that went on during the day, they are according to those materials. Then the Nigerian movie industry has painted everything about the church in such a way that have you watched movies where there is Babalawo, then there is pastor. The pastor will do like this. Then Babalawo will throw power. They were busy throwing power. And the image of the power of God, the image, the picture of the possibility of God that you get to have in your mind is a God that is dragging with the devil. What is going on? There is a mental block that the devil is building to defeat you when that time comes where you need to take a stand in faith. And when you come to the house of God, you're not expecting nothing. When you are being prayed for, what is really playing in your mind and is forming like a firewall, a shield in the realm of the spirit, is those things you have been exposed to. Hallelujah. Are you see there? Are you see there? Now, if you are going to win again, again, and again, until victory becomes predictable and consistent in your life, there is so a subject matter that is crucial to spiritual warfare that you need to pay crucial attention to. You need to pay serious attention to. Praise the Lord. In natural human warfare among nations, I hope you know that most times, even when people fight, it's not the strongest that usually win. That is why the battle is not always with the strong. You can have the best of the weapons, the best of the equipment, but if you are not skilled at the usage of those equipment, you still may not maximize the advantage that being in custody of those weapons is supposed to put you. Praise the Lord. And one of it is the renewal of the mind. Can you say renewal of the mind? Your mind can actually shut God down. Your mind can actually put a limitation on the greatest partner you have in the prosecution of spiritual warfare. If you have been reading the book of Deuteronomy, as we have were supposed to be doing, you'll find where God is admonishing the children of Israel that when you get to a city and you're going to fight, and you see that this the people of the city, they are huge, they are tall, they are stronger than you, you know what he asked them to do? He didn't even ask them to do the things that we will do today. He said, remember the Lord. Remember all the signs. Remember all the wonders. Remember all the mighty things that he did. How that he parted the Red Sea, brought you out of Egypt. The wonders he did. When you remember, now go and confront the enemy. Does that look like a safe preparation for warfare? Hallelujah. Hello. Does it look like a safe preparation or provision for warfare that when you are confronted with a situation and it looks like this situation is playing pranks on your mind, playing pranks on your possibility, there is something you need to pull out. You need to reach back into memory. And whenever what you are reaching back to is stories of defeat, stories of woes, stories of shame, you will melt and fizzle out before in the face of spiritual warfare. Why is this crucial? If you fail in your mind, you'll fail where? If you lose in your mind, you'll lose on the ground. Years back, Apostle Solomon sent me to Niger State, Bida to be precise, to go and preach. And we've heard a lot of things about Bida. It's a stronghold. It's a lot happens and all of that. And I was praying. An apostle had taught us that lesson long time ago. If you lose in your mind, you lose on the ground. And he said, when you are going for a meeting, pray until you feel clothed. Pray until you get a word. And I went ahead, prayed until I felt the anointing come upon me like a garment. That was great. And then God told me, in every of the session, I will show up. I went for that meeting. When I arrived, the first day, you know, when they invite apostle and he's not the one that comes, there's always the way the environment is conditioned that first day. And you need to go and prove your call. And I was there, ministered the power of God. Saturday evening, I got there. The hand of God was mighty. And on Sunday evening, all the demons were summoned. And the opening prayer did not open the meeting. The worship did not do anything. The president of the fellowship came to prepare ground. It was as if his throat was going to crack. And they handed the dried microphone to me. I was trying to preach and my throat was dry. I said, okay, let's pray. And the only thing I held on to was the fact that if you lose in your mind, you lose on ground. You know what? We prayed and pushed until the atmosphere busted. It busted open. The things that happened were amazing. And after the meeting, the president came and made me say, Why couldn't I open the atmosphere? You know what I did? I told him, if you're losing your mind, you lose on ground. That single statement could be the reason for the difference in your own life. But it has to become an armor, a tool in your armory, a weapon in your armory, an arrow in your quiver that you can always pull out in the face of circumstances, contradictions, things that you know you don't expect. The reason why you are holding on and staying your ground is because if you lose here, you lose on the ground. Any loss you secure here, you incur here, is going to manifest on ground. And anything that will make victory to become impressed on your heart and mind is something you need to pay attention to. I don't know if you get what I'm talking about. They say there is an outbreak, there is a pandemic. The natural mind we just activate in what? In fear. When Ebola happened, people died. When COVID came, people died. And then all of those facts are what your mind will begin to process to try to understand the current situation and circumstance for. But if the word of God is established in your heart, what will automatically trigger is the fact that even if 1,000 die at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, it is not coming near you. And near you includes your family, and it doesn't matter what condition they are. Do you understand? Your wife is near you, your kids and your family members, and if you're a pastor, your church is within the proximity of near you. It shall not come near you, even if 1,000 fall and 10,000. Are you there? Amen. Now, this is a warfare that the enemy will always set up in order to get the believer, the Christian. I've given this illustration previously because that's the one that is coming handy. Praise the Lord. I don't want to... Lord help. There are things the devil does to you to prepare you, to weaken you for what he wants to do to you actually. Sometimes Satan wants to... There is a season of visitation that is coming over your life, and Satan wants to find a way to kind of defeat the believer and to knock him off. He brings things like offense. That offense is not the real thing. Offense has justification and offense has objectives. I get you what I'm saying? That somebody stepped on your toe, somebody did not greet you, somebody even lied against you and all of that. Humanly speaking, if you look at it, he lied, this person is a blatant liar, he didn't have any reason to lie. But the goal of that offense is what the devil is actually aiming at. Now, if you're not careful, the day someone died around you, check the condition of your heart. You were distracted. That distraction can be justified. I get you what I'm saying? The reason why you have every right to have been angry, you have every right to have been resentful. But now that you are in resentment and offense and anger, the devil has entered in and he has caused the damage that is supposed to be that he has in mind. At the end, there is a loss on ground, but there is offense. And this happens most times around families. You are believing the Lord for the fruit of the womb, and then the time of visitation is already here. That is where one unreasonable quarrel will just ensue. And then when you have settled without apology, the angel has gone. What is the goal of all that happened? There are series and sequences to victories in spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. Give me Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Can we have it in the Amplified Version? And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourself what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purposes for you. You're going to find two moves in that particular verse that you need to yield yourself to, one or the other. And if you don't intentionally and deliberately choose where you're going to stand, you are going to be chosen. Somebody sent me a message this afternoon. Says, I have a question. Is it possible for one to just keep on loving God and praying and then avoid spiritual warfare? If you don't choose the fight has chosen you. If you choose not to fight, you are that the fight has chosen you. You cannot escape spiritual warfare. And he's saying there are systems, there are arrangements all over the place seeking to forge you, to form you into a shape and a mold. If you look around, the arrangement is so that you are meant to be made into a particular kind of person. And he said, don't conform. Don't allow yourself to be forced. Don't allow yourself to be compressed into that shape. But he said, be transformed. And this transformation happens where? In the mind. And that is a seat of victory for you. Because if you lose here, you lose on the ground. The Bible talks about the men of Benjamin, that they were armed. They were armed with war, with weapons on the day of battle. What did they do? They turned their backs on the day of battle. They had all that a man should have and, you know, go straight, go head on for victory. Everything that should count in victory in warfare, with all they had, they still turned back on the day of battle. Why? The issue of the mind. The renewal of the mind. In my few years of preaching and pastoring, I can tell you, one of the ground where believers have lost and keep losing the most is in the mind. Now, if you don't understand the full ramification of spiritual warfare, you will think that spiritual warfare ends when you had a bad dream, or it's all about bad dream, or things are not working well for you. There are warfares that are meant to detract you. Hello? Warfare of detraction. They take you from the path of life to another lane. These are warfare at the level of principle. And this one, the devil does not need to come in a dramatic way. He comes systematically. Gradually, everybody you did good to turned against you. Hello? You do good to somebody, they turn against you. pick somebody, begin to support them, raise them, and then when they get to a level, a stature, they turned against you. And all of that is meant to forge you to become a wicked man. Over time, 30 years down the line, you have become a resentful woman that if husband should come into your life now, the devil does not need to be involved. This, your current condition, will scatter the marriage. How did you become that kind of bitter person? How did you become this kind of unforgiving person? It's a progressive warfare that is shifting you inch by inch. And then because it took time, the journey is a well-established journey. You have your reasons. You have your explanation. Pastor, you don't understand. Pastor, you don't understand. Unknown to you, the project has been a 30-year project. And the winning or losing is not even about engagement. It's about your person. It's about who you are becoming. So the Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart to become sick. Give me Psalms 129. There is a warfare that it takes a strong heart to engage. Psalms 129, media, if you are there, help me please. Psalms 129, I read from verse 1. He said, many a time have they afflicted me from my youth. May Israel say, now say, many a time have they afflicted me from my youth. What is the strategy of this fear? A sustained, progressive conformation, shaping of your person into a particular form that is not suitable, is not fit to engage at all. He said, many a time have they afflicted me for my youth. The enemy waited early enough. He didn't wait for until you become no grown up. He said it early enough because he has designed your destiny. He knows the weight and the brilliance of the star of your destiny. He begins to initiate the whole protocol. Begins to initiate the whole protocol. And then before you know what is happening, maybe your dad is killed. And then you are left to some persons to take care of. And while you are in the house, you go through all manner of unimaginable mechanisms. Do you understand? When they are talking to you, anyhow, when they won't talk, when they finish, they go keep quiet. You are becoming a hardened person. Your tenderness, the kind of person you should be to fit into your own destiny, the enemy is gradually working you into a kind of person that will not fit into the specifics of the destiny that God has placed on your life. Sometimes I go to the hospitals, I'm coming in, and I see doctors and nurses, they are talking to patients, and I'm wondering, is this for real? Is this happening? People are going through this kind of pain, and you have gotten so accustomed, so used to that the river of compassion cannot flow through you one bit. What is going on? The heart has become hardened. There is a condition called past feeling. All right? You know what is called to be past feeling? How many of us, maybe you grew up in the village where your uncles, I don't know about your, maybe some of your uncles they are born again for a long time. I had uncles in the village that smoke pipe. You know pipe? That funnel, do you understand? You put the tobacco inside. They carry coals of fire with their hand like this. Carry it and drop inside the pipe and then use their hand to heat it. If you were to touch a coal of fire, you will go reflex. Do you understand? We were living in a compound and there was this lady they call Agwe. Agwe will be parboiling rice or beans. She will use her bare hand to hold the pot. This hand, you know, handless pots now. Do you know those handless pots? The pot had hand, but the hands have gone off. Use her hand to hold the pot, turn it inside rubber paint, and then bring it back. And you are wondering, what is going on? What happened to Agwe is that the cells at the nerve endings have become dead. And for people that farm with, you know, farmers that use hoes and cutlass, when you use hoe or cutlass the first time, your hands will be blistered. It means you are still very sensitive to stimulus. As you continue, after 6 months, you don't need to use sponge to bath because the hand has become so hard. If you do like this, your child will be crying. What is going on? You have gone past feeling. No sensation there again. And part of spiritual warfare that the devil brings to believers and to our world, to beat everybody into that condition, is that place where you become past feeling. Matthew chapter 9, 35, 36. Jesus Christ saw the multitude. They were like sheep without shepherd, and he was moved with what? With compassion. They had pastors. This was in the synagogue. They had pastors without feeling. It's a condition of spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you become past feeling, you are becoming hardened. You are surviving. You are progressively becoming disqualified. And it's not all spiritual warfare that is about you lose something practically on ground. There are warfares of disqualification. You are no longer fit. You're no longer suitable for something. And the renewal of the mind. And Paul is saying here that you should not be conformed to the standard of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. It is like programming. You know, new. Okay, you understand new. Something is brand new. It is just fresh, not been used before. And praise the Lord. What do you do? By installing. You find Paul saying that the word of God should do what? Dwell in you. How? Dwell in you richly. And in this case, I was telling you about warfare that can distract. He said, when your mind is transformed, when you are transformed by the renewal of your mind, you will be able to prove. When you see what is of God and what is not of God, you will know it. When you see where God is leading you to and what God is not leading you into, you will know, because there is already a reference. That reference is the word of God that is already locked up in your heart. Psalms 119 verse 109, he said, how can a young man keep his ways pure? By taking heed thereto according to your word. And verse 11 says, your word have I hidden in my heart. There is something about the hidden word in the heart of a person that rises up to aid you in your resistance against iniquity and sin. Say, your word have I hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Storing up the word of God in your heart. And then, can we have Psalms 119 verse 128? Psalms 119 verse 128 say, therefore, I esteem all thy precept concerning all things to be right, and I hate every falsehood. This is the posture and the position of the man that is ready to renew with his mind. Everything that God says about everything is what the man is accepting as reference for his life. He said, I esteem all thy precept concerning what? All things. All your precept about what? All things are right. And because they are right, I will take them in. They will become the moderation, the protocol, the policy that runs my own life. One of the things I've found in, you know, I found not in recent time, but I've seen it consistently, is the way the the devil comes to exert upon a community. The devil says, "Not allow any root of bitter to spring up among you that will defile many." You know, someone met me and he came complaining about a particular brother. This brother is going through difficult situation. Do you understand? Going through difficult situation. Hallelujah. When the warfare, the things around people's life begins to affect you negatively, your spirit is not strong. This brother going through difficult situation, personal battles of his own life. And the person around him that should know that something is going wrong, the devil is attacking my brother, is the one that is pulling up all the complaints, all the justification, the reason why this brother is bad, this is like this, and all of that. And you look at the whole situation like, why is this person not seeing this clearly? And I say, "Oga, Satan is fighting your brother." Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. He said, "If any man is taking in a fault, ye which are spiritual should restore such a one." Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, you see, that temptation, that saying thou also, tells you what is going on around the life of the brother. Do you understand? Are you there? This person is going through a hard situation, a difficult situation right now. And he's saying, "You who are spiritual." But when you find a brother going through crisis, going through temptation, going through trials, and the people around that are supposed to be spiritual, and then to know that this person is going through a difficult situation, to step in, you have to first of all be spiritual before you become proficient in spiritual warfare. Having the word of God stored up in your heart. I write unto you, young men. I write unto you, fathers. I write unto you, children. The young men is because the reason why you overcome is because the word of God dwell in you and you have overcome the evil one. Give me 1 John chapter 2, I think verse 12. 1 John 2, verse 12. "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake." 13. "I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abided in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." Are you seeing the secrets to victories in spiritual warfare? One of it is what? The word of God abide where? In you. In 2008, I had a dream that I woke up from, that taught me a lesson. In that dream, I was fighting with the lion. And it was a furious, very furious battle. The fight was ongoing till I woke up. And when I woke up, that day, I battled with heaviness. Heaviness that you cannot imagine. Go to work, I just couldn't. I was teaching in school. I couldn't, sitting on my desk, I had to put my head on my table. I don't know what it was. And it just dawned on me that I woke up from the dream doesn't mean the warfare ended. How many of you are dreaming? Then they were pushing you. You're running and panting. And you just, realms of the spirit that you woke up doesn't mean it ceased. It is going on in a different plane. You fought with a dog and you woke up with this. You woke up throughout the day, that week, you were so discouraged, so disorganized. You unknown to you, that spirit you were, that warfare you were engaging that manifested as a dog in the realm of the spirit is what is discouragement and all of those discouragement. How do you connect them? How do you plug? Is it when you wake up that the warfare ended? It's not when you wake up. It's not because you woke up that ended the warfare. It's because you engaged. And you should have the instrument, the weapons, the tools for warfare. And primarily, the word of God is that instrument. And he said you should be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then now, you will be able to know. You prove. That word prove, I broke it down into you perceive what God wants you to do, you partner with what God wants to do, and then you partake in what God wants to do. And on the journey, you will discover that this will of God that you have harped on is good. Later on, you discover it's acceptable. As you progress, you discover that it couldn't have been any better. And you couldn't have made a better choice for yourself than what God chose for you. You know, people have said that there is a good will of God, there is an acceptable will of God, there is a perfect will of God. No, when you are on the journey, you will see the sequence. Hallelujah. You will see the sequence that this is good, though. It is acceptable. Your heart begins to accept it. Before now, it was because God says so. But right now, you have every reason to welcome it. And as you progress on the journey, you discover that you couldn't have made a better choice for yourself. And all of these are predicated on one subject matter, the renewal of the mind. The alarming rate at which believers believe anything and everything right now shows the fact that the church of today is really, really, really detached from the Bible. If you read the word, just reading the word of God, there is a natural, there is a native discernment that comes from the word. You will just know. This man that everybody is getting around, you just know this man is not a good man. You don't have all the facts here, but you know spiritually that this man is not a good man. You are watching, scrolling through channels on television, you know, on the cable. You see this one say, somebody shall fire. This one say, the Bible say, people are saying many things. And then you just know, your spirit is just not patient, irritated by some things that, physically speaking, there are no facts around it. And if you stay long enough with that thing, over time, you will discover why. But you will not be discovering with losses. You will not be discovering, you know, realizing that this person, this thing is wrong, you know, without the profit of having escaped the negative side effect of that. And all of this, if you labor on the renewal of your mind. I don't know. Maybe our pastors can testify more. You are preaching and the scriptures you are quoting are scriptures that got into your mind like 10 years ago. 17 years ago. It's not because you read it recently. It's not because you listened to a message about it recently. But the thing has been laid up in your heart. And when it matters the most, that is what, right? The Bible says that when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard. There are things that you need to make available for the Holy Ghost to hold on to lift up. Watch it. You know, Apostle, while he was ministering on one of the days, he said something very critical that I don't know if you got the import of it, that we cast out devils. It is instantaneous. In casting down, you know, you cast out devils, you cast down stronghold, and casting down stronghold is a process. That process of pushing down strongholds, wearing the hold and the grasp
of certain philosophies, mindset, worldviews on you, it takes time. And you need to be on the journey. If you start reading your Bible, for instance, every day, can you give me the book of, let me show you why this is very important. Give me the book of Daniel chapter 8 from verse 9. I'll just read a few verses there. Daniel chapter 8. So you can see the strategy of Satan and darkness in weakening the believer in spiritual warfare. All right? Go to 7 verse 25 first before we go to 8 verse 9. Daniel 7 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. This is one of the antics and the intrigues of Satan and darkness. What is the tactics you are finding here? To wear out. Wearing out does not happen. It's not breaking. One of the, maybe the most handy illustration I can give you about wearing out is if you were in Makodi way back in the 90s where our tap still runs, the water, public water supply still runs. You know, if you lived in the compound, you open and lock. Over time, you are finding pieces of brass on the ground. A time comes where you need to tighten more to get the tap to be closed. All right? And then after some time, you keep turning the tap head, is not locking. You know what happened there? The thing wore out. So when the devil begins to wear out a saint, the person is vibrant, is active, he loves God, he's on fire, everything is going well, he's a brother who is encouraging all of us and all of that. And then the devil begins to work on his case little by little. He's not going to get him into immorality, no, radically. Just a little here, a little there. And before you know what is happening, allowances, concessions here and there, and weariness begins to come in. And he says, wear out the saint and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given to his hand unto a time and times and a dividing of times. Go to chapter 8, verse 9 now. Chapter 8, verse 9. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which works exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. Verse 10. And it was great evil to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the hosts of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. And he magnified himself even to the prince of the host. Look at what he is going for. All right? He said, and by him, can we read? Can we read together? And by him, the daily sacrifice was taken away. Not the annual sacrifice. Why do we have believers pray for 10 hours, pray for 24 hours, pray for 72 hours, many days, and we don't get to have the power of Christianity like our fathers had, who pray 5 to 6 in the morning and that is it? Why are we not having such powers? There is something called daily sacrifice. The devil doesn't mind you in pushing in spiritual warfare. He doesn't mind you having an annual sacrifice like the 40 days fasting we are having now. This is annual sacrifice. There are many of you here that have not come to church. Last year, you were not in church. You came for fasting, and after this fasting, probably if you're not wise and intelligent, that will be your end in church, in daily commitment to God. And they say, by him, the daily sacrifice were taken away, and the place of the sanctuary was cast down. Instead of we casting down stronghold, the devil is casting down the strength of the church. What is the secret? How did we accomplish this daily sacrifice? I was asking Reverend Dan, I said, Pastor, what do you do if you are finding it difficult to read your Bible? I don't know, there are many pastors who are elders to me here. You have been doing great and all of that. How did you cope with those days where the Bible looks unattractive? It looks so dry. 2 weeks, you have not opened the book. You listen to messages, but you don't open the Bible. Oga, there is a warfare going on your life. The daily, the sacrifice we present is not about the volume. Praying 30 minutes every day. Praying 15 minutes, maybe at lunchtime. Daily sacrifice. And Satan came directly for what? Power Zion. The secret of the church of God. The secret of the house of God. The devil came after it. Give me verse. He magnified himself even against a daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. How did he accomplish this now? Bible says that a sinning man will stop praying, and a praying man will stop sinning. Right? Prayer will stop you from sin, or sin will stop you from prayer. So you find by reason of transgression, the daily sacrifice has now ceased. And it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Is the devil prospering in our day and time? The handwriting on the wall, does it look like the church is winning or the devil is winning? This is one of the things that happens. The days when we had time to read our Bibles every day, they can call it mechanical. You cannot become... There must be a systematization to the intake of the Word of God for it to affect you tremendously. So, what are those things that prepares your mind to enhance your capacity to win here, to enhance your capacity not to lose here? The renewal of the mind. Hallelujah. By way of principle, I don't take negative reports, especially from brethren about brethren. So a lot can be going on, I'm the only one who is not aware. Paul said, when I came in among you, there was a decision I made not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ, and not Jesus Christ that is on the chair, Jesus Christ crucified. It was a personal decision. Because when you open your... Hello? Are you there? I tell people, I say, the church sometimes is like a hospital. When you get to hospital, what kind of people do you see more? Sick people. And then when you see a sick person, you begin to become offended. The man came to look for help. The reason why he came is because he needs help. And the one that can help him is the one he has come to. And it has formed the reason and the justification for your own offense. I think you have a problem. He wants to be helped. He doesn't like the life he's living. And unfortunately, this life will manifest. Amen. Something happened. Sometime, was it last year when? Someone that was becoming dear to me, like really, really, really dear to me. And I know what I'm telling you about. Really, really dear to me. All my life, my first son is 8 years. I've not paid my first son's school fees, my children's school fees, first, second term at once. All right? But I met this guy in church here at the embassy. I paid his school fees. He had dropped out of school. I said, go back to school. Called his principal. Sent people to his school to go and find out, are they owing anything? Paid his school fees, first term, second term, third term. And I just discovered what I did. And it dawned on me that my children have not even enjoyed that. And things were going wrong around me. Things were going wrong around me. In my office, things were missing. No, somebody will come and they say, Pastor, see seed. They give me. I don't carry money on my body like that. I don't touch money most times. You know, drop it in the drawer. 40,000 will become 17,000. I'm like, at the point I believe that maybe angels or demons were visiting my office. But I'm like, how can a demon come into my office? No, he can't walk. I didn't believe. So I started sleeping in the office. I'll be in the office. Somebody will come and knock. I'll not open, then hold the door handle. I'll find a key, enter. Then, because my own key is inside, You know, when there's a key at the other side, you can't push this one through. You know. This thing kept happening until I told my younger brother, sleep in the office. The day I was not going to sleep, sleep in the office. Say, make sure you sleep. And I told the Enugu man or some people, say, on some people, go and sleep in my office. After I told my younger brother, I still told on some people, in case my younger brother doesn't go, Enugu man will be there. And then, one of those mornings, by 7 o'clock, the owner of the office came with a spare key and opened. And then met somebody in the office. Say, Oga, how did you come? My keys have been missing. I've changed the cylinder 3 or 4 times. And every time I change, he will pick a spare. We reported to the police and they took him to the station here. While he was there, my heart could not help but be with him. That day we had a wedding. The food they gave me as a pastor with my bottle of water, I sent it to him inside. I just discovered that there are things that I have trained myself not to be capable of doing. He ate my rice, ate my chicken, drank my water. It was supposed to be locked. And I discovered it was my heart that was betraying me. I would just think, not too long, I said, please, release him. I said, go. Don't come to my office again. But I discovered there is a warfare around him. I had to call his mother, say, tell him to come back. I want to see him. What happened to my heart? I thought up, down, left, right, center. And I discovered that he's a complete human being. It's a complete. Ooh. I accused my younger brother until my younger brother got angry and packed. He doesn't come to my office again. Packed his stuff, no longer coming to my office. And then, well, you have a connection to Apostle Rome. I have a connection to Apostle Rome. So let's keep our personal line. Don't connect through me. Connect through, you know Apostle, I know Apostle. So even though you're my brother, let's be doing our own private practice. God for all of us, every man to himself, God for all of us. And the day my younger brother discovered that this, he wanted to beat him, I said, oh God, leave him alone. Train yourself, the renewer of the mind. Don't take pleasure in wrong things. Hallelujah. And it's very, very easy that the devil will be transmitting to you. See, any mind that has not gone through intentional renewal and transformation is not safe. You can have a lot of hidden weaknesses, hidden errors inside of you, and it is just waiting for an opportunity. Can you give me that 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians 10 from verse 4 and 5 in the Amplified Version, and if you have the Message translation, I'd like us to look at it. Are we there? Okay. The weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of the flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. The next verse. We are destroying sophisticated arguments, established arguments. You have reason. It is clear. Everybody can see that this is what is going on. And it is yet a tool in the hand of the devil to get at you. That is why I'm saying the reason for offense is not as powerful as the goal of offense. Sophisticated, well arranged to ensure that everybody that sees it knows that kind. Now you are right. You are right. Nobody, you get the fault and all of that. You're not at fault. You know. Praise the Lord. Destroying sophisticated argument and every exalted proud thing that set itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought and purpose captive. Let me give it to you from the New American Standard Version of the Bible.
I want you to see something there.
It says we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Speculations. Sophisticated arguments. If, amen,
and the argument the devil brings to you is that your husband hates you.
That your wife doesn't like you.
That this person knows what he is doing.
If you don't, because the renewal of your mind sets a filter, there is a mental filter there that you just know, why will this person even do such a thing? Are you aware that when you begin to renew your mind, one of the things that will be happening to you is the shock at the way people think? Give me Titus chapter 1, verse 15.
Titus 1, 15, maybe still in the Amplified.
It says, unto the pure, can you read? Unto the pure, all things are pure, but to the corrupt and the unbelieving, nothing is pure, both their minds and consciences are corrupted.
Praise the Lord.
Can you win and prevail against the resistances to the renewal and the transformation of your mind? Because there is a condition you will be that you will see things like that. Things are not the way they look. They are the way you are. One of the easiest way I get to know the condition of a man's life is the way he thinks. And one of the expressions of your thought is your speech. When I hear somebody say something, sometimes the shock is it possible to think like this? Can a brother be thinking about a brother? Can a sister be thinking about a sister like this? Can a man be thinking about his wife like this? And many times, what you are thinking about is not how the thing is. It is how you are. So when the 12 spies were sent, the two guys, Caleb and Joshua, the Bible said Caleb had another spirit. All right? And this other 10 guys, they came. How can you give testimony that a land has giant? The land can sustain giant. Do you know how giant are sustained? Giant eat giant food. Elephants eat elephant-sized food. Rats eat rat-sized food. For a land to be able to sustain giant, and you came and said the land also consume it inhabitants. Isn't that contradictory? If the land consumes its inhabitants, those giants are good enough meat for that land. But the produce of the land is good, and he say it still consumes. What happened? Why all of those? The mind. When you renew your mind, you see clearly. And you know, many times, the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. This is difficult because you have to keep at it daily. 2010, God was showing me the power of meditation, the power of the renewal of the mind. This building that we are in now, this focal wall here is the tallest part. Maybe at least it's really tall. Okay. We have bricks here. Only those who built it can tell us the thousands or tens of thousands of bricks that went into the construction from the foundation to the roof. Every bit of this was made up of bricks. Uniform bricks. The bricks, the blocks, maybe 9 inches blocks, they are looking alike. Yet you keep piling bricks upon brick upon brick to get a height. That you put one couch doesn't mean you are done with block work. And that you read your Bible last year doesn't mean you are done reading the Bible. Proverbs 24, I think verse 30 something, he said, I went by the field of the slothful. I passed by the vineyard of a man void of understanding. And the reality was that he saw that the stone wall of that man's vineyard was broken down, and thorns, nettles, thistles have covered the ground. The stone walls are broken. And he said, I look and I receive instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hand. So poverty comes and you begin to be in want. What is the problem of this man? If you were sweeping your house every day, when one grass comes up, especially if you grew up in the village, our mothers sweep the compound every day, they will pull that one grass and then they continue. The next day, and that grass is trying to thrive, they pull it. And the compound is kept fresh. And if that woman should leave that place, no, people are not in the compound, people are not there. Just give it a few months, it becomes a forest. And that is a protocol of Satan to make good people become bad people. And it's a strategic spiritual warfare that he keeps pressing over time. A kind of thought came to your heart and you did not admit yourself to the intensive care unit of God. You were not shocked at yourself. You could even think like this. You could imagine like this. You were not shocked and amazed and afraid for your own life. You coasted on and gradually, you know, it's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white turns to gray. And they say, daddies, they don't fall in a day. Families don't fall in a day. Pastors don't fall in a day. All of this happens gradually. The way those things happen gradually, that is how you should grow gradually. Let me say, the man that knows how to save will come to abundance. You may not have earned 100,000 all your life, but you can become a millionaire if you know how to save, if you know how to grow wealth. And if you are going to become proficient in spiritual warfare, winning all your battles, one of the ground you must have ready and well attended to is the ground of a renewed mind. A renewed mind is a strong asset. It's a strong tool. In warfare, it's a strong tool in the execution and the prosecution of the details of your own life. And the devil will keep attacking your heart and mind. I went through things in my life that was meant to paint a negative picture of the church to me, but the renewal of the mind carried me through. Prayed. And many times, oh, hallelujah. Watch your life. You begin to maintain a good conscience. The power of a good conscience is founded by the renewal of the mind. I don't know what you are thinking about me, but I know what I'm thinking about you. As for me, I know I love you. And I like you, Seth. You know, love and like, they're not the same thing. Love, we are commanded. Like is a choice. I choose to like you. I like your hair. I like the way you are coming to church early. I like the way you greet. So it's not because God forced me to love you. I'm also having my own personal reasons and I look for the reasons. Apostle told a story during one of the sessions. I don't know if the weight came to you about the woman whose husband, you know, impregnated the lady, and then the lady moved in, she moved out, and for over 25 years or thereabout, she was praying fire for the man to die, and the man kept thriving. And the day she said, Lord, I forgive him, then the man died. So if the man was supposed to have been dead now, she have extended the man's lifespan for 25 years because of the posture. Are you there? So when your enemy is hungry, what do you do? When they are thirsty, what do you do? And in so doing, you are heaping coals of fire upon their head. And in that condition, you are not being altered. You are not being changed. If you are a pastor, I'd like to welcome you. The ministry, one of the constant companions in ministry is offenses. Constant companion. Every day, an offense is, it's like pregnancy. You must carry your own. Nobody will help you. If you allow it to eat you like a cancer, you are the one that... The reason why I'm pastoring you is because of God, not because of you. If not, ordinarily, you would have ceased to be my member long ago. This kind of person like you, that run the mouth like this, I've done already delist you from membership. But since I'm going to give account to God, that's why you are still on the list. Praise the Lord. And you need to make up your mind. Renew your mind, O church. The psalmist said, I rejoice at your word as one that findeth great spoils. There is a sense of worldliness. Way back, hallelujah. Are you still here? The increasing, growing advantage you will begin to have in spiritual warfare, the best of them comes from the renewal of your mind. There are different relationships. Now, there's something I wrote here that I want to read out to you. If you don't renew your mind, the world we are living in right now is going to affect you negatively. You know, there is doubt inside, there is fear outside. If you send me video of people slaughtered, I will delete. If I respect you enough, I will not tell you anything. But there are people that the moment you send, I just tell you, stop. If you don't stop, I'll block you. If you don't stop, I block you. We cannot choose not to think. This your mind will be thinking. Where there is no wood, the fire will go out. You cannot decide that I don't want to think. Now, the religion that teaches people to practice, to open their mind, to free up their mind, are you aware of yoga, right? You know yoga? Everything in this world now is going yoga. The reason why I don't even do some kind of workout is because there are yoga practices, yoga exercises. There are yoga you wait for of demons, and you are required to intentionally let down the guards of your own mind for those demons to enter inside of you. Choosing not to think is not what you can think. You can choose. You can't choose, say, I'm not going to think. As you attempt it, you are opening yourself to devils. All right? Freeing up your mind, open you up to demonic infiltration, as you find in yoga practices everywhere, all over the world right now. You must think. You will contemplate. You will analyze. You will make conclusions. A lot of summaries and everything here. Number two, it is difficult for you to think two things at the same time. If you are thinking on the word of God, you will not be thinking on demonic insinuations. And if you are thinking on demonic insinuations, suggestions, and arguments, you cannot think on the word of God. Number three, you can choose what you want to think on. So whenever my mind begins to go in places that I don't want it to go, I call it back. There were times where strange thoughts were just bombarding my mind. I'm in church, they are coming. The first thing I was doing was when I get to church, I sit close to the speakers when they are praying. Ayabalabada, ayabalabada, arabada, balabada, balabada, balabada. So that what I'm saving in my mind is alabada bada, alabada bada. When I leave church, what is going on in my mind is alabada bada. That is an unconscious prayer. Do you understand? It is saved there. Eh? And especially those that pray with loud tongues among us, when they are praying, the thing enters very, very fast. It goes on recording. Autoplay. Okay? Are you there? Then, I started talking, just like Apostle was saying, one of those that say, Satan, if you bring evil thoughts to my mind, I will pray out loud. Hello? Have you prayed out loud before about that immoral thoughts in your heart? If you try, the devil will leave you. The reason why Satan is still adding fire is because you are doing. You are respecting yourself. You are keeping your reputation in warfare. You even thought of immorality. I will not sleep. I will not think evil of Sister Angela. Sister Ekechi. Sister Jessica. When you pray, and the devil doesn't like being exposed. Expose him. Sister Chiamaka, hey, Chinaza, you are just at home, you are thinking Chinaza. Begin to pray and let people hear you pray. You know, this thing is a fact. It's a fact. I was on campus then, and then, you know, we are in fellowship. We are praying. My mind has become upside down, thinking bad thought. I pray, read my Bible. It wasn't working. And I began to pray out loud. I left school. I went to church. Left campus. Left, you know, they know me on campus. So they know me as a Jinjin brother. So I went to the town church. Then I went upstairs and I began to pray. And the prayer got to a level where I started praying loud. And people that knew me and they know my voice and know my prayer language, they came to the door to come and see. Even Brother Tony, they think bad thought. Do you know what? The experience I had that day, that matter was dealt with. You know, when your child begins to become unruly, you bring him to the city center and you throw the first stone. And then let everybody join stone and kill that child for you. And there are many, many Pekin, not children, many Pekin that we are rearing up inside of our hearts. Terrible thoughts. Pray it out loud. Let people around know that this is you will find intercessors among them. I noticed one of the places where I do my jobs, you know, there was the cashier. I don't know why I was enjoying giving her money. That is, you know, when you are going to make payment, that giving her money. The thing was becoming, I was enjoying it. I didn't know what is happening until the day she was not around and I felt a loss. Where is the lady? Where is this girl? She know they. The next day again, where is this girl? You know, the third day, where is this girl? I went and told my wife. There is somebody that I'm beginning to miss. I know women are jealous. Women, they may be prayerless, but if it's about that matter, they are praying. The prayer fire will come. I told her today, the next day I was clean. I was clean by the next day. Iniquity thrives in secrecy. Open it up. People come to tell me, Pastor, this is what I'm going through. Then when they tell me they leave, I did not pray for them. And they send back saying, Pastor, thank you for praying for me. They didn't know what happened. That they exposed it and is enough. Sincerely, for several of them, I didn't remember to pray. But they have told me about it. I'm aware. And that is the end of the matter. Pray out loud. If you bring this thought again, I will pray in public and I will embarrass you, not me. You want to eat into my brain with maggot, I will embarrass you. I will embarrass you. I can't hate Kato. No. You spirit of hatred that is telling me that Kato is a thief man, I bind in the name of Jesus. Expose him. Ephesians 5:19 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose it. Women, don't carry the pregnancy of offense. Don't carry those pregnancies. Expose it. Hallelujah. We need to win on that ground and become a healthy church that will contend with the territorial spirits where we are at. We can, you know, Gideon had 32,000, only 300 were fit. Do you understand? This thing I am talking about in the church of God right here, very few persons are fit for real spiritual warfare. All the devil needs to do is just to pull some strings. That is why Paul said a leader should not be a novice, lest he be falling to the snare of the devil. And strong meat belong to those who are mature, who by reason of usage, exercise, that is what I was saying about the bricks, you keep building, keep piling, keep adding until an edifice rises up. I know the name of the Lord is a strong tower. It looks like you need to build that tower in your own heart. How tall that tower will be in your own heart, for the righteous to run into it, you will have to determine it. When we are going to war, we put on armor. That is a dressing. That is a heart frame. That is a mind frame. We need to be to profit in warfare. And this is very difficult. The reason why it's very difficult is because we have cheaper options. The options, you know, I love the anointing. I feel great when the anointing comes upon me. It makes life easy, okay? But this is how the anointing is likened to. The anointing is like a weapon. It's an empowerment that comes upon you. All right? If you have an anti-missile javelin, if you have an AK, you know, RPG, you have all these dangerous weapons, that is like the anointing. But the person that will wield that instrument is you. A weak soldier with a dangerous weapon cannot bring commensurate victory. Yet you can find a man who is fit, but he doesn't have state-of-the-art weapons like the Nigerian soldiers. When you see the things they accomplish. Hallelujah. You know, in Nigeria, we don't wait for the government to do things for us. If they don't give you light, you become your own power supply company. If they don't give you water, you drill your own borehole. If you don't provide security, you provide security for yourself. There are nations in Africa where if there is no light, they are waiting. If there is no water, they are waiting. Go to South Africa. If those things are not available, they wait. If you are going to be proficient in warfare, you can't be like that. It will rise up in your spirit. A Christian who has a strong spirit, his 1 hour prayer, his 15 minutes prayer will accomplish much more than a Christian who is weak spiritually, who is not renewed in his mind praying for 10 hours. And then just extend that parallel and have a Christian who is strong in his spirit and can go the full length. That man will be a wonder. Praise the Lord. This one will require you to build. Sometimes now you have relationships with the Word of God. Number one, read it. Can you say read? The first relationship you will have with the Word is read. Revelation chapter 1, I think verse 3, say, blessed is he that readeth of the word of this prophecy. Number one, read it. Number two, study. I think 2 Timothy 2:15, study. Psalms 1 from verse 3 thereabout, say, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he doth meditate day and night. Meditate on the word. You read, you study, you meditate. The next relationship you're going to have is memorize. That is how you commit the word to your mind. And it's like encoding. It's like programming. You begin to think the word. You begin to think the thoughts of God. Unconsciously, if you have not gone to that level where the word of God becomes your practice unconsciously, you still need to do so much. And even if you have gotten there, you still need to keep doing it. So you read, you study, you memorize, All right? You meditate, you memorize, then you do. One of the easiest tools to memorization for me is to write it out. This is the Bible. The Bible is the Bible. But I write out that verse out and it becomes my preoccupation. These 40 days of fasting, the reason why we're having you to read a chapter every day is to get you on this pathway. Read, if you read 5 chapters, Mondays to Friday, if you read 3 chapters every day and 5 chapters during weekends, you will finish your Bible in one year. Are you listening? If you read 10 chapters every day, you will finish it in 4 months. Hallelujah. If you read 20 chapters every day, you will finish it in 2 months. If you read 40 every day, you will finish the Bible every month. Your life will become like that, those trees by the river of life that bring forth fruit, 12 kinds of fruits every month. You will not remain the same. But the deception is the anointing. All right? The anointing needs to grow, but the spirit of the believer needs to grow. So we have a strong spirit wielding a strong anointing. Don't always go for the bailout of the anointing. You will be robbed somewhere. And there is a phase of life you will get to that the anointing may not be present. It is your human spirit that has faith inside, and the just shall live by his faith. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. And it will take you time. And because it will take time, the best time to start was many years ago. The next time you should be on it is now. Tomorrow is late. Would you please rise up? Choose ancient path. Lead us along eternal highway. We want to the footsteps of Jesus, a true Israelite in whom there is no guile. The ancient path. Lead us along eternal of Jesus. We want to enter your rest. Show us the ancient path. Lead us along eternal highway. We want to follow the footsteps of Jesus.
God.
He took the scroll and opened it. The Bible says, as it was his custom with the word. He had a secret life with the word that was not known to everybody. They didn't know when he was building himself. And they said, when did this man learn this kind of wisdom? He went to a school. fresh hunger for your word. Wherever you are at, ask the Lord. Say, Lord, give me a fresh hunger. A fresh hunger. A fresh hunger for your word. A fresh appetite. Bring me back. You can't have accurate discipleship without biblical knowledge. It's part of the things we were told these days. And it's possible to become so busy and not have time for the word, but we have time for messages, we have time for a lot of things, but we don't have time for the Bible. The daily sacrifice being taken away from the altars of many persons, the daily sacrifice being taken away from the lives of many persons, and then the sanctuary is being cast down. There is a reproach coming. Can we pray and say, Lord, 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 a fresh hunger, a fresh hunger, a fresh hunger, that will renew my mind. Renew my mind with the word of God. I will renew my mind with the word of God. I will think the thoughts of God. I will think the thoughts of God. I will imagine the imaginations of God. Jeremiah, what do you see? I see the rod of an almond tree. And because you have seen rightly, I will hasten my word. I will not hasten your problem. I will not hasten your cry. I will hasten my word to perform. I will hasten my word to perform. Can you pray and say, Lord, help me? Habakkuk said, I will stand upon my watch and I will wait to see what he will say. When you stay on the word, you begin to see here, you begin to see what God is saying. There is a pictorial translation of the spoken word. The word that is spoken to you, you begin to see it in pictures, in types, in illustrations. You start being a part of what God wants to do. One of the resolves that you must have in these 40 days is to go back to the word, a preparation of the word. Your word we have found, and I did eat them, and your word was the rejoicing of my heart. Oh God, nekayandebo, evianantata, abraso sabela, abaras kabalante, koriananda, avivene mombares kabo, evino kakambona, asbaras kabalanta, ebontage, ebolamambaza, samalante, kondavi, intara sona. The unrenewed mind is a plus to the devil. The unrenewed mind, the mind that is not transformed, constitutes an advantage, a limitation to you in spiritual warfare. You will never be able to see what God is saying. You will never be able to believe what God is saying. What God wants to do can be limited, can be rejected by a mind that is not renewed. Abera azeso saile, birana askemo lantana, avia kambaras, sebeleta guna, avinto kema, barazo zaita, avelantemo, ebraskome, rugaya avelankamo, baraga zosa. To the pure, all things are pure. To the divine, even their minds and their conscience are corrupted. How do you become pure? Wash them with the washing of water by the word of God. Get to the waters of the word and purify and wash, 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 so you can see clearly. Wash, wash. Emambo balande vena, ebarazo zaikemo. Razu Santana, Abauge, Abauge, Keria Kande Brode Zamina, Abaru Saizevo, Sumbras Kebalante. In Jesus' name we pray. While I prayed and prepared, An experience I had, a dream I had in 2006 came to my heart, and the Lord will help me to deal with it. In 2006, I had a dream in which I was in my village. And the word, the Bible that was given to my parents when they did their Catholic wedding in 1996, I inherited it. So I was with the Bible, NIV. I was going to preach to my people, and I was wearing a white shirt, but I discovered I was not wearing pants. Top, shirt, dressed, but under, I wasn't dressed. And I was zealous until I discovered that there was no covering under. And while I prayed, the Lord told me, there are people, you have had that kind of dreams and encounters, and it needs me to pray for you. Please come out. What is going on is this. Online, on ground, if that is your experience, the Lord wants to set you free. It's a limitation of your ancestry. The reason why you have shirt on, because your decision to follow God, the breastplate of righteousness, the experience of Paul, and for several persons, let me tell you what happens. When you had that dream, you started engaging in sinful habits that you didn't like. What happened to Paul? That he said, in my heart, I want to do what is right, but I find myself doing what is wrong. That is a spirit at work. Oh, can we pray in tongues? Can we speak in tongues? One of the ways to break that stronghold. Oh, ma pela raka skovenata, baragu zazefo sompata, paikandevo skabo, brusa savela, radis komendana, 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 laita guda genia. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, I want to wait on the Lord briefly to get what He will have me do. But there is a prayer I'd like you to pray. Psalms 118, verse 7. While I prayed and prepared, God gave me that prayer for us to pray. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. You're going to pray that prayer. For many of us, the people that should help you are hating you. Because there is a lot. The devil is the one whispering to them. They are not hearing from God. And he said, God will take my part with those that will help me. And I will see, therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. Alright? I'd like you to pray that prayer. We're going to do a lot of things in a short time. And this is about the only prayer I may give you, like a given prayer point, okay? The prayer is, oh God! Oh God! I can hear you! Take my part! With them that will help me! Whisper to my helpers. Give counsel to my helpers. Give instruction to my helpers. Give a right picture to my helpers. And destroy every negative whisper that my helpers have heard concerning my life. Oh God, whisper to my helpers. Go ahead and pray that prayer right now. Beraka. Pray that prayer, pray that prayer. There are many of you that your life will change. There is a shift. There is a transformation. There is a lifting. There is a blessing. There is a promotion that will come when God begins to whisper to those that should help you. Hey! Oh God, don't allow my enemies to talk to my helpers. Don't allow my haters to talk to my helpers. Oh God! In Jesus' name. I don't know if you understand this prayer point. I'm not sure you understand it. I was in a place where they were asking, do you know this brother? And everybody, they were asking, who is this brother? Who is this brother? And I know the brother, and the only ready description of that brother that I would have given was a negative one. That brother that used to damage car when you give him cars. And then I held my mouth like this. And they were to give this brother a car. A car was to be given to him. And then when I left there, I left there so quiet. I left there so somber. So if I had given that description, this guy would have missed a car. There are quarters where your helpers are being confused. Your helpers are being distracted. Of course, maybe your mother did something wrong one time and you are judging her totally and not that particular event. Your mother is not that thing that happened. There are other positive things about that person, but they are using that one incident to round up everything about your life. You are going to pray and say, oh God, destroy every negative things that my helpers have heard and whisper to them. Go ahead and pray. Somebody pray. Let your helpers be the one talking. Let them talk on your behalf. Let them speak in your favor. Let them speak positive things about you. A lot of persons have been taken out because of negative things spoken about an incident, a time in their life they said something wrong, a time in their life they came late to work and the description is late coma. Oh God, take my part. You have 2 minutes. Oh God, take my part. Let those that see me, let them think good of me. Let them think positive of me. What shall be done to the man the king desires to honor? He said, let him ride on a horse that the king himself is riding. Put on him a royal apparel. Let him be an escort. And he said, go and do that to Mordecai. Go and do that to Mordecai. Oh God! Whisper to my helpers. Let my helpers give positive counsel, positive report. Your line manager ought to give a good report, a good recommendation about you. Your supervisor needs to give a report that is healthy about you. Oh God, take my part, take my part, take my part. David said, is there anybody left of the house of Saul? I want to do him kindness. I want to show mercy to the house of Jonathan and the family of Mephibosheth. And he said, you will eat with me normal for the rest of your life. Oh God! Paros Cabomantena, Aiko Tana, Aiko Bampa, Bara Uzai Savepo, Brusa Katana, Brusa Katana, Karuagena Katua, Aitarus, Tara, Takaya Lara Adu, and Aiguanaha. In Jesus' name. Those of you at the front, I'd like you to pray with me. I'm just going to remove the proprietary rights that those spirits have on your life. I'll remove the ground that they are standing on to malign and to manipulate. Repentance is a very strong tool. It weakens the devil. But we have not understood the power of repentance yet. I've seen miracles happen because people repented. Because they are now at peace with the one that matters. And is released to them without any obstruction. Can you put your right hand on your chest? Say, Father, in the name of Jesus. Online, on ground, wherever you are at. Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for your mercies. This night, I come to you by an act of my own will, by my own decision, according to your word that says, draw near me and I will draw near you. Lord, today, by my own decision, I choose you, I exalt you as King over the throne of my heart. I enthrone you over my mind. I enthrone you over my body. Sit on the altar of my mind. Sit enthroned on the altar of my body. Sit enthroned on the altar of my spirit. Sit enthroned on the altar of my past. Sit enthroned on the altar of my ancestry. And today, in the name of Jesus, I rebel against every spirit. I rebel against every power exercising claim over my life. Today, in the name of Jesus, I command your powers, broken. I command your hold, destroyed. Today, I go free. In the name of Jesus, every devil, every spirit assigned to my life to hold my life in ancestral compliance, today I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Yes, let them go. Let them go, let them go, let them go. Let them go now. Now, now. You wicked spirits, out of them. Out of them, yes. Let her go. 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 Abara Shaka. Venice. Lose. Loser. Loser. Lose. Loser. Let her go in the name of Jesus. Let her go. 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 I break your hold. I break your hold. I burn your dynasties. I burn your dynasty down. Right now, let her go. Lose her. Lose her. Lose him in the name of Jesus. Lose him. Lose him. Lose him. Lose him. Lose him in the name of Jesus. Lose him in the name of Jesus. Lose him. Lose him. Lose him. Lose him in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your hold. I break your hold. I break your hold. Lose her. Lose her now. Lose him. Lose him. Lose him. Lose him. Lose him. Lose her. Hey, cover. Caius. Caius. Lose her. Lose her. Lose her. Lose her in the name of Jesus. Lose her. Lose her. Lose her. Lose him. Lose her in the name of Jesus. Lose him. Lose her. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Visit spiritnerds.org to download more MP3 sermons of your favorite preachers. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com.